Early 90s. Good on him. Mid-90s, I think, is when I met Tim May. Tim May used to work at the Dispatch. Now he calls Letterman Rowe home. And, man, he asks great questions during the press conference. And I always wait for his questions. I'm like, oh, Tim May's there. And it's real. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, my friend. My longtime friend. I can't believe how long I've known you.
Yeah, that's you just took me a trip down memory lane. Did we get all the way back to 80? Did that take us all the way back to 87, 88?
When, no.
The last time Indiana beat Ohio State, two years in a row?
Nope,
You know what my lead was in the paper the next day after 1988? After Indiana had won for the second straight year and beat Ohio State, 41-7?
I'm going to guess it was probably, I digress, Hoosiers do it again?
Yeah, it was something like that. I said, a new day has dawned in the Big Ten.
Oh, man.
Little did I know that's the last time Indiana would beat Ohio State, and we'll see if it happens tomorrow.
Maybe you were foreshadowing to Ryan.
Yeah, maybe I was. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not even sure what foreshadowing means, to be honest with you. It means your shadow looms over something before you actually get there.
Ah,
I see where you're going with that.
I always learn from you, Mr. Tim May.
Eastbound and Down, man, they don't write songs like that anymore.
No, that's all you. I think of you more than I think of Burt Reynolds in that now. I'll be honest with you. When I hear it, it's like Tim May, and I think people know it's 1 o'clock on Friday, too. We're all Pavlov's dogs, man.
I think of Kenny Powers. That's who I think of.
Oh, you're right. You probably could think.
Every time I hear it, all that goes through my head is there's no way you could walk to Hollywood now and go, I got a script in my hand.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of this is you've got 48 hours to get beer from one side of the Mississippi to the other.
No, to get Coors. We couldn't Coors beer.
Exactly.
The funny thing about Coors was when I was growing up, it was one of those holy grails. You had to drive from Lufkin, I think three counties over, to be able to buy Coors, even in Texas. Of course, it's from Colorado, and it took forever for them to become nationwide. And Coors basically, I don't think, was even sold east of the Mississippi River.
No, so it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal to have to go over there and get the banquet beer.
That's why that movie, it was the whole premise for that movie, you know? Get that delivery there, and it's contraband.
That's true. Yeah. It's funny because it was like 85, I think, that it came to Cincinnati first. Because I remember some people were just about 19 years old. I'm sure they were 19 when they did, because that was the drinking age time. And they would get dressed up, and they would go down to Cincinnati to get it from here.
There you go.
Wow. Well, we've all learned a little bit today, haven't we? We're all smarter.
I feel smarter. Yeah. I feel smarter.
All right, Make Me Smarter. Is Indiana for real? What's this game all about tomorrow? And I can't imagine the Buckeyes are taking this game lightly, knowing how well Indiana's played this year.
Oh, hell no. Hell no, they're not taking it lightly, number one. Number two, Indiana's undefeated, 10-0 for the first time in history. And you watch video of them. I've watched several of their games, when I get home in time, et cetera. Indiana is for real. How for real, relatively speaking, to the Blue Bloods? They just knocked off Michigan 2 weeks ago and then took the week off. But Michigan almost put them back in their place. Couldn't quite get it done because Michigan has one of the worst offenses known to man this season. But did pretty much stunt their offense. I'm talking about Indiana's vaunted offense, which was averaging 40-something points a game with Rourke, the kid from the transfer from Ohio U, basically throwing the ball and was averaging 40-something points a game and scored 20, only scored 3 points in the second half of that game. So it kind of made you scratch your head and go, okay, this is a reality check for all, but they still figured out a way to win the game, which is, fellas, that's all that matters in the new world of college football. So, they're for real. They've got players, many of whom came with Kurt Cignetti from James Madison, transferred from James Madison. Their quarterback is from Ohio University. One of their running backs is from Wake Forest. They did a really good job of using the transfer portal to put together a solid football team, and some of which, especially on the defensive side, guys who have played with Cignetti and company for a while now, so they knew the system. I thought they did a really good job of integrating enough new guys with enough holdovers for the new guys to explain to the holdovers what Cignetti is all about, what's expected in his program, so it wasn't just a constant preaching from Cignetti from the top down. you know, a lot of their leadership has come from the inside up and around, and that does wonders for a football team. But they play very sound defense, get after you with some tricks up front, but don't sell out very often. And then on the offensive side, you know, they've scored points, which is in the by the way, the idea behind playing offensive football.
Tim, I just want to ask this question. I don't want to sound naive, but I'm sure people think this question. What comes first, the portal or coaches trying to get guys to go to the portal? Are there rules?
Wait a minute. Are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that, like, are coaches actively recruiting guys that might be backups or guys that might be thinking, hey, I don't know if this is the right fit for me? And
who knows?
Saying, get into the portal, or are guys going to the portal and saying, okay, I'll see how, I'll roll the dice and see if any other team wants me?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows what's really going on, but it's really amazing when some guys come out of the, go into the portal, immediately know where they're going. Let's put it that way. Well, some guys don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, without any proof, you got to figure there's something like that. What's that called? Tampering?
Yeah.
For
yes.
one of another term. I think
yes.
they call it in the NFL.
Yeah.
Something like that going on.
But is it tampering in college? I mean, is it, it might sound dirty and like,
I don't think there's actually
I don't think so either.
A rule on the books that keeps you from doing that now. I've always had the impression there were rules on the books beforehand in some form or fashion, but I'm not going to like throw a fact out there and find out it's not a fact. But the bottom line is it's not, you know,
shady. Shady might be a good word,
yeah,
right?
There's the word. Yeah, I should have said I should have said it's still shady.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when Nick Saban threw the help wanted sign out there about wanting a receiver that could take the top off of defense right after they lost Devontae Smith in that team. Remember when they beat Ohio State for the 2020 National Championship? Well, Ohio State had a backup wide receiver named Jameson Williams, who, a couple months later was playing for Alabama or transferred to Alabama. And then, you know, now he plays for the Detroit Lions, but he could take the top off an offense. So what is tampering? Who knows, right?
Right.
The legend Tim May joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Listen to him on the Tim May podcast. Of course, you can always read him on Letterman Row as well. Tim, do you think Indiana is some kind of a blueprint for other teams, like let's say a Purdue, where they were able to take some of the money that they got in the cable deal and then turn around and use name, image, and likeness and bring in a whole bunch of guys to kind of help bolster that program? Do you think that's a blueprint?
Yes, but what it is also is, wait a minute, how come Kurt Cignetti could do this and Indiana could do this, but you haven't? Meaning, to whatever your current name, your current head coach, you know, somewhere, and or athletic director. Yes, it is. It's a great use of the rules as they stand right now in major college football. You know, Ohio State went out in the transfer portal this past year and sprinkled in new guys, and almost all came from reputable big time programs. What Indiana's also proven is you don't necessarily have to shop at Neiman Marcus. You can shop at Target. You know, there are players there if you know how to find them and what a real football player looks like. Go get them. And that's what it's proven. It's really what it's shown. And Colorado's doing this too this year. You know, Colorado got kind of poo-pooed as the year went on last year, and only won three, four games. But Colorado's playing for a chance to play in the Big 12 championship game and a possible first round bye in the college football playoffs in the second year under Deion Sanders. Clearly, it can be done. Meanwhile, what are you doing, Lincoln Riley? You know,
yeah.
I mean,
heck, what are you doing, Debo?
Basically, there's no excuses anymore. Everybody has to be on board. You have to have a thriving NIL situation. Look at what Michigan has just done. Basically, luring the quarterback who had been committed to LSU for quite a while, Bryce Underwood, number one maybe recruit in the country. All of a sudden now he's going to Michigan, and the rumors are he's going to be for a like a 4-year deal worth about $10 million to him from an NIL standpoint. You know, if you can't beat him, join him in terms of the transfer portal as it goes. So, yeah, you're either stepping forward in that realm or you're falling way behind. There's no middle ground.
Tim, let me ask you this, because we have our Odyssey Sports Insider. His name's Nick Costos. He joins us once a week, and he said Indiana needs to at least cover in this game to make sure that they can still be in the college football playoff. Like, if Ohio State blows them out, what does that mean for their future?
Only time will tell, number one. Number two, the SEC hasn't finished playing games either, you know?
Right.
So, you know, the ironic thing is the Big Ten, at the end of the regular season, the Big Ten could have four teams with just one loss.
Right.
And they would probably all, if it's a close loss, let's say, by Indiana, then Indiana conceivably could still be in the top 10, at least in the polls, the way the polls are concerned. The SEC is arguing that it's, what, 15 teams that have two losses. Now I'm exaggerating there. But his passel of teams with two losses should be considered more highly than the Big Ten if the Big Ten has four teams with just one loss each. Well, poppycock, I think is the way Bear Bryant would say it.
Yes.
Poppycock. We'll see. I mean, everybody thinks that, you know, has it in their mind that that the SEC is pushing all the buttons when it comes to the college football playoff. I don't agree with that. You know, I was just talking with Bo Bishop, my buddy, and we were talking about how, though, they understand that matchups on television mean a lot, especially in this college football playoff 12-team era we're in now. And so how much the committee will bow to that in one form or fashion remains to be seen. Here's the point. You know, it's okay to have one Cinderella, maybe two in a 12-team format, but you don't want six. Because most of those Cinderellas aren't teams that have drawn big on television over the past many decades, and you still have a television show or shows to put on. How much that factors in the way the committee thinks, only they know, right? But I don't know the answer to that until we get there.
Tim, let's just kind of talk a little bit more about tomorrow's game. Jeremiah Smith, a little banged up at the end. I know you don't get the injury reports the way we do in the NFL, but any thoughts on that, and how do you think he's feeling today?
Well, he went back in the game and played, yeah. And they even ran an end around with him, which got blown up after that. I was standing right next to him about 10 feet from him yesterday, or 2 days ago, while we were doing interviews, and he was doing some kind of whatever radio interview on his own. He wasn't available to us, but the bottom line, he looked fine.
Good.
He wasn't wearing a yellow jersey or anything like that. I think he's fine, good to go, but that still doesn't change the fact that that was a dirty play by that Northwestern player. And it, you know, Ohio State turned it in, obviously. And
any repercussions? Sure, or yeah, what happens?
I'm not sure there's been a definitive repercussion, I mean, yet, but too bad.
Don't you find it funny, though, Tim, when teams do that? They're like, we're turning you into the league office for this. And then
well, yeah,
like,
but they should. You know what?
I know they should, but I just like.
Should not be condoned. Something should have been done about it when it happened, because all the replays, you could see it. I didn't see it immediately because I didn't see the replay up in the Wrigley Field press box. I missed the replay on it, or I'd have been more hound dog on it after the game than I ended up being. But it was a dirty play, and there's no other way around it.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of sight lines on TV that were real good either. I mean, it was as cool as it was that they played it Wrigley.
Cool.
It was. I think it made it hard for replay in a lot of ways because they just didn't have the angles that we're used to.
Yeah, it was so cool compared to like if they'd played that game out on that little temporary stadium they built out on the lake at Northwestern. It was really cool. Like I told you, I'd never been to Wrigley Field before, but it was cool, but there are hardly any good football seats in Wrigley Field. And then you think about the fact that Gale Sayers played his whole career there and Dick Butkus.
Right?
You know, it's crazy.
Thoughts on the just final thoughts on this game coming up and what we can expect to see against Indiana.
Yeah, I think finally Ohio State's depth even at, on the offensive line. You know, replacing Seth McLaughlin is a big deal, but you're replacing him with a guy who started all 12 games for you at center last year. Doesn't mean there's not going to be some rusty goings on, at least early in that game. And then you've got Austin Sereveld moving into left guard, where Carson Hinsman had been playing since they had to shuffle the offensive line a couple other times this year. He started the first two games for Donovan Jackson at left guard. And Donovan Jackson, of course, now playing at left tackle for the last several games. You can read all about that at LettermanRow.com, a story I wrote. But the bottom line is, I just think Ohio State eventually will hold sway just because it has more than what Indiana does. That doesn't mean it won't be a really good game, but I've got Ohio State winning by two scores.
And last thought, do you think if things go right, we look at Oregon twice now, right? We would see Oregon in the championship, and then we could see them the way it was lined up this week. Wouldn't it be in the second round of the playoffs?
Yeah, that's been the collision we've all been seeing coming. Yeah. No matter what happened on October the 12th, we've seen that re-collision coming for many months now. I think that is what's going to happen. But you know what? Wisconsin could have almost beat Oregon last week. So you never know in college football what's going to happen from one week to the next.
Amen, Tim May. Have fun tomorrow. I'll be listening for you in the press conference. Thank you, Tim.
Always, thanks, buddy.
Always a pleasure being on with you fellas. You know that, man. We're a tradition now. We're a tradition like no other.
That's right. We're like Thanksgiving.
There you go.
All right. I feel it. Thanks, Tim. Talk to you soon. Bye. Tim May, Letterman Row. Make sure you're checking out Tim May there. And what would you say? Tim May Podcast, right? Tim May. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tim May Podcast, man. He does a lot of stuff with Urban, too, if you want to try to check some of that out. 216-474-0092. That is the number to check in. I wanted to talk a little bit more about college football. And also, it is a Browns Therapy Friday. It is a Victory Friday in Northeast Ohio as the Browns down the Steelers yesterday. That's a noon kick. Do you think Ohio State fans should be upset about all these noon kicks?
So did you see there was a piece that was floating about that somebody did about Ohio State having all of these noon kicks and how there are fans out there who aren't exactly thrilled with that idea?
It's just weird because Fox, you know, it seems like last week I'm torn because should you be upset that they're on a noon kick if they're Fox's big game, right? Big noon kickoff. Or should you be upset that they're, you know, like last week, they were what, on Big Ten Network?
Well, the problem that I have with the big noon side of things, there's something about having these games at different times. Like, I thought it was a crime that the Penn State game was a noon kick. That should have been Happy Valley, the 8 o'clock ABC game, or the
well, there's no ABC game anymore, but you're right. Right? No.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yeah, there's still Herbie and Fowler.
Big Ten's not there anymore. So the late right, after, it's an NBC
game. Or maybe
game
not
now.
That yeah. one, or the NBC yeah. game with Noah yeah. Eagle and Todd. I think
but
it's Todd
Peacock, Bush, but they also have two games, like they run side by side games. So they also run the NBC game, and then CBS is the late afternoon game, and Fox is the more is
right.
The early
and
game.
That should have been like that game should have been the whiteout in Happy Valley at night with that place going nuts. And I feel like we're losing some of that pageantry that comes with college football, and it's in the little stuff like that as we chase the money. And I get why they're chasing the money because let's face it, we all would chase the money.
Puts teams like Indiana on the map.
Exactly.
But
this game would be, man, if this was at night at the Shoe, could you imagine? I'm a 2 versus 5. That's awesome. That's what you want at night at the Shoe, everybody going absolutely nuts.
But the tradition is still to play day football for college football. The long time tradition is to play day football, Saturday afternoon football for college football.
Right.
Right.
And I get that. And those traditions have shifted a little bit as we've gotten more and more of these night games that have figured out external illumination.
You know, it's weird. Why? I wonder why college football games on Saturday night feel successful, but NFL games on a Saturday night would. I can't see it. Like, it just doesn't.
Well, those always pull a decent number.
Yeah, but it just doesn't feel the same. I don't. Maybe now it would, if you know, especially once you get out of the college football window after Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah, because you don't want. I think part of the thing, and I mean, we're going to get it this year more than any other year. You're going to find out how powerful the NFL is coming in about a month when they start doing the college football playoff.
Against the NFL?
Saturdays yeah. against the NFL. I mean, yeah. the fear had always been the Alabama side of it of, okay, so, you know, Alabama, are you watching the Tide or are you watching the Cowboys? You know, Ohio, are you watching the Browns or are you watching Ohio State? And especially if those two end up going up against each other.
You would think that college football would be smart enough to try to not have them go head-to-head.
Right, that you'd try to mess with it, but we know
how... Because the NFL's not budging for anybody.
Oh, gosh, no. They've proven that. They've proven that with the fact that they're playing on Christmas. Playing Wednesdays on Christmas, which was always, that was the NBA's day. Not anymore. We're coming for the dough. I mean, that's proof in itself. The NFL doesn't care. They've stopped caring. They're done with pleasantries. They're just going to come get their money. So... But, like, as much as, the new deal with the big noon kickoff and that stuff, and I am a Gus Johnson fan. I know a lot of people don't like Gus, but...
I like Gus. I just think he's bored with Ohio State right now. That's
exactly.
All.
He's had so many of these Ohio State games over so long, or over this season. This one's going to be a good one. I think we'll get really good Gus this week. But, there's something about those night games on top of it and just a big game at night... That just makes college football so cool. You know, you get the bands cranking and all that stuff. And, you see these guys going nuts. And it's just, you miss something. But the other side of that, and maybe it's the trade-off, is Indiana. Where they announced, hey, man, we're taking this money that we're getting from this Big Ten deal. And we're going to turn around and invest it in the team. And they went and got the coach from James Madison. Then a bunch of players to come famous and went and got a quarterback who was at Ohio University. It was basically this team of castoffs, and he brought them all together, and they're cruising and they're cooking and they've gelled and they have pieced something together and figured something out. And my main thing with this is I will forever prop this Indiana team up as the reason why the transfer portal is awesome and the reason why we should never get rid of this thing. It's awesome.
It drives Jeff nuts, and I don't know why it does. Here's what I like about the portal. It creates opportunity. And when I say that is maybe there are some high school athletes that go unnoticed. And by the way, high school athletes, you're almost at the bottom of the pecking order now for college football coaches, right? Because the first thing a college football coach has to do is recruit his own guys to make sure that they don't go into the transfer portal. Then the next place that college coaches are going is into the college portal. Is going into the transfer portal because they want to make sure that, they can go out and get quality players who already have experience over those kids that are coming out of high school. And so then high school kids, I just think it's going to get tougher and tougher. And I think the end result is non-Power 4-5, whatever you want to look at it, conferences aren't going to be looking at high school kids very much anymore.
They still will.
It's just not, I mean, yes, there's Jeremiah Smiths out there every once in a while, but I think but I also think that this will help the Mid-American conferences. This helps Division II, Division III, and the sub, the college football sub, I want to say culture, that's not right, subdivision.
Group
right?
of five teams.
How could I forget a Rush song? Can you believe I just did that? I forgot subdivision.
We forget all sorts of stuff.
In the high school
halls. But the group of five teams. It's going to all help all the group of five and all that stuff. This is why the portal is awesome. I will continue to hammer this until the end because now you are in a spot where an Indiana team can be a really good college football team. And are they going to win against Ohio State? Probably not. But boy, they're going to give them a fight. And it's going to be one of the better games that you're going to see. Ohio State's got more talent. Ohio State has figured out how to gel a little bit of this stuff. But the fact that Indiana is here and we're having this conversation is huge. The fact that the best quarterback or young quarterback in the country went to Nebraska is huge.
Well, we're talking about BYU, right?
I'm still a Dylan Raiola believer.
Getting a bye.
Yeah.
That's been you're looking at Boise, you're looking at BYU.
Running back in the country is running for Boise. That's awesome.
Smurf turf. What can you do?
That's what this whole thing is it is the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness has done what you and I said it was going to do from the beginning.
Jeff didn't want to hear it.
Which was it took all the talent and it spread it out.
Do you remember Jeff didn't want to hear it? He was like...
He thought it was going to turn into...
Well, how is someone going to get...
the majority of people.
Well, he was like, how is someone going to get money from, the local grocery store? I mean, how many people are going to get that? Two or three? It's also turned out to be good for other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And there's money in NIL for other sports other than football, which is, I think, exciting too. And we've seen the growth of the women's game, which was another thing that I talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
I was like... this is going to be good for women's athletics.
I mean, we're having conversations about Juju Watkins and USC basketball, women's basketball this year, and how she's going to go nuts, and how Paige Beckers is starting to get a little more Diana Taurasi to her by Giori Emma's thoughts. Like, we're having some good conversations about this stuff.
All right, let's talk more about this. And you know what? It's a Browns Therapy Friday. It's a Victory Friday. You still feeling good about the Steelers' win last night, the win over the Steelers last night? Let's talk about it when we come back. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, without the Phelps, with the Menigan.